The situation. What you should know about this time, we are in Bourbon Island, Reunion, a small island in the Indian Ocean at a district called Saint-Suzanne, in 1841. The company in this small French colony was based on the plantation economy supported by the system of slavery. Since the beginning of the 19th century, the island has changed its economic orientation with the exploitation of sugarcane instead of coffee and spices, a more lucrative crop. The story starts here, with a plant. This is a vanilla plant, it's a kind of vine. It climbs, sometimes way high, and when it flowers and is visited by a pollinator, it produces a bunch of long, stringy beans. Properly treated, those beans give off the flavor we associate with vanilla. When Spanish explorers brought vanilla from Mexico, it was mixed with chocolate and became a classy sensation, fancied by kings, queens, and, pretty soon, everybody else. Demand, naturally, shot sky high. By the late 18th century, a ton of Mexican vanilla was worth its weight in silver. With profit margins growing, a few plants were hustled out of Mexico to botanical gardens in Paris and London, then on to the East Indies to see if the plant would grow in Europe or Asia. It grew, but it wouldn't bear fruit, wouldn't produce beans. Flowers would appear, bloom for a day, fold up, and fall off. With no beans, there could be no vanilla extract, and therefore nothing to sell. The plant needed a pollinator. In Mexico, a little bee did the deed. Nobody knew how the bee did it. What can be done? In the 1790s, people knew about plant sex. Bees, they knew, were pollinators. If people could only figure out where vanilla's sexual parts were hiding, they could become bee substitutes. They kept on trying. One plantation owner, on the island of Réunion halfway between India and Africa, Ferial Bellier Beaumont, had received a bunch of vanilla plants from the government in Paris. He'd planted them, and one, only one, held on for 22 years. It never bore fruits. It is important to show the oppressive and sordid atmosphere of slave condition, but sometimes also, a relationship of trust is developed with masters and must also be approached in parallel with the loneliness, the violence, and the exclusion. Above all, in this case, we must consider the non-recognition of discoveries made by a slave by the society of this time. It seems necessary to highlight the miserable death of this free man despite the wealth that his discoveries have brought to this island. The story told is the one of Edmund Albius, whose nickname was Ingenious Little Devil. He was born a slave in 1829, in Saint-Suzanne, on the Réunion Island. His mother died during childbirth, and he never knew his father. In his youth, he was sent to work for botanist Ferial Bellier Beaumont, a wealthy farmer. Edmund became an apprentice of this botanical enthusiast, and more precisely in his favorite field, orchids. The little slave was very passionate by this study. He was very curious and observant. Every day the pair of them surveyed the culture of orchids with a scientific approach. Mr. Ferial tried to put into practice the many scholarly knowledge emanating from his botany books, and Edmund actively supported him in this thirst for knowledge and practice. In this quest for discovery, Edmund also did not hesitate to manipulate and to lift the different parts of the vanilla flower as soon as he had a little moment of stolen freedom. He was fascinated by it. He felt that this flower had not revealed itself completely. One day, to his great surprise, Mr. Ferial saw the vanilla bean on one of the orchid. He couldn't believe his eyes. Then, the child explains to him that it was he who fertilized the flower, but the master refuses to believe him. 3 days later, he sees a second pod near the first one. In front of him, and to prove his point, young Edmund performs the delicate operation of applying the anther with the pollen, a male organ, to the pistil, a female organ. His master introduced him to all the large estate owners so that he could teach his knowledge. In 1848, after the abolition of slavery in Reunion, Edmund was freed and received his name as a free man, Albius, probably in reference to the white, alba, color of the vanilla flower. Like most former freed slaves, Edmund left his master to start his own new life. He became a cook's helper for an officer. But life was tough and the wage miserable. Albius was involved in a story of jewelry theft and sentenced to jail for 5 years. At the request of F. Bellia and thanks to the leniency of a compassionate justice of the peace and Governor Hubert de Lisle, he was released for good behavior in 1855 after 3 years of hard labor. The colony never showed its gratitude to him. He ended his life in 1880, at the St. Susan Hospice, in total destitution.